Kane's Ballroom. Now, you've already talked about your love of music, and we can talk about just a little bit of history of Kane's, but what brings you to Kane's Ballroom?
My eldest son graduated from TU.
And his name?
Chad. He is 44, so 20. He was about 22, graduated from TU, and took a job with Morgan Stanley. I had no familiarity with stockbrokers and stock at that point in my career, but his job was to cold call people, see, you know, just pick a number out of the phone book and say, would you like to set up an account with Morgan Stanley? I can help you. He didn't like that. He's shy like I am. It's hard to sell a product that you can't guarantee. I mean, it's lots of issues with that. So he goes to New York City 3 months before 9/11 for the Morgan Stanley training in the World Trade Center, and comes back and just says, I just don't think I like this. And so for some reason, we decided to lease a building across from the Reynolds Arena on 11th Street. It was a bar and small grill. And we leased that building, and Chad dabbled in both bar sales, food sales, and he'd schedule bands on Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. So that's how he got involved in the band scene. Local bands. The building was owned by an Iraqi who promised that he would go back home and sell the building to us someday, as soon as things smoothed out in his country. But that never happened. The building needed lots of work. The kitchen needed lots of work. It was not very nice. TU was selling beer across the street in the activity center for the same price or less. So there was no motivation for the kids to walk across 11th Street and come buy a beer for more money except for the bands. So all of a sudden, we still liked the idea of doing this, but it was August, the last week of August 2002. I'm laying in bed watching the 10 o'clock news. We always watched usually Channel 2, but for some reason we're on Channel 6 that night. And then the reporter goes, historic venue for sale. It's Kane's Ballroom. I said, wow. The important part of the story is that I'd never been to Kane's. I left town in 72. Larry Schaefer didn't buy the Kane's till 76. Made it big rock and roll, country and western. Took all new bands up and coming. But I wasn't here. I didn't come back till 89. And so I didn't pay attention to Kane's Ballroom when I was from Muskogee or in Oklahoma City, but I did know that it was something I needed to look at. So we called a real estate person on Wednesday, come up with a contract Wednesday afternoon, show it to the owner Thursday and buy it on Friday.
Wow.
I walked in there and saw all the portraits on the wall. I saw that it was not being given the TLC that it needed, didn't have air conditioning, had hung ceiling low that made you feel a little bit more claustrophobic in there for 12,000 square feet. Women's bathroom had like 7 stalls. The men's bathroom had 2 stalls and 2 troughs. So you kind of go, oh my God, what am I doing? But we bought it with the idea that immediately we'd have to shut it down and rehab it. So we bought it last of August, first September. The first show that we co-sponsored with Danny Finity, who mm-hmm. used to own it for a short period of time between Schaefer and us. We lost money in the first show, but I remember all the work that everybody had to do in the bathrooms the whole night because none of the toilets worked, and plunging the girls and stuff. So we stayed open until like March or April, doing some shows, learning the business. Schaefer had told us, because we were really closer to Schaefer than Finity. Schaefer told us, if you win 2 out of 5, you'll be okay. And just, if these agents call you from LA and say, I got this new band, please take it. You don't know anything about the band, but you take it because he'll give you the next band that's also good. So we did some of that, but closed down between April and October, I think, of 2003. Dwight Yoakam was our opening act when we opened back up. $1.5 million into it on top of the price of the building. And but had to buy the building to the south of the Canes and put in 44 bathrooms because BOCA, or the International Building Codes, say that when you're designated a bar, you have to have a potty per 4 people, and our occupancy was 1,600. So we put in 22 women, 22 men, put in a unisex bathroom for handicap, and then we used the new building that we bought. Besides the bathrooms, we made a little side room called Bob's that we'd serve some food out of and have smaller events, smaller people in there playing that have 150 people. So we used it like that for a while. And then the rest is history. Chad was here and started running it with a couple employees that we hired. Hunter, my 40-year-old son, was currently, when we bought it, at a school in Orlando called Full Sail, S-A-I-L. I don't know where they got the name, but it's an audio engineering school. So I thought, Hunter's learning audio engineering skills. Chad's the business guy. Maybe this would be perfect. So Hunter comes back in 2003, and amazingly, they've been able to maintain a marriage with lots of rough spots since then. Hunter's more laid back. Chad's more like me, OCD. But Hunter's the poster guy and the ticket guy and does some of the shows, books some of the shows. Chad books the big shows and keeps track of all the monies. We have stayed on the straight and narrow with the fire marshal. We do not oversell. We've got air conditioning, which makes it more pleasant experience for people. The bathrooms are wonderful. We did have experience with the bar on 11th Street, so we knew that beer and alcohol, it makes your money. If you break even on ticket sales, you'll have the cushion of making money on the alcohol. So my thought was, if you have a bathroom that you can go to without waiting in line, you'll get back in line and buy another beer. Now, that's way perverted. That's tending to overserve. But we also try not to overserve, too, and we've had very few run-ins with bad actors and fights. Yes, we've had some fights. Yes, we've had some people accusing us of the security guards being mean and roughing them up. But you know, we're in a situation where after 10 o'clock and people had 5 or 6 beers, that it's all bets are off. I mean, it just can be wild. Yeah. Boyfriends, girlfriends.
But when you were buying this building, you were buying such history. I believe it built in 1924. Was it true as a garage for W. Tate Brady's automobiles?
His name is on the outside of the building, built in 1924. It was automobile repair, then an automobile dealership, and then finally, it wasn't very long before it was then used more as a dance hall.
Madison W. Daddy Kane purchased the building in 1930, named it Kane's Dance Academy.
That's correct. And they'd have 10 cent, where the men would pay 10 cents to dance with women. And that was back during Prohibition. And so nobody could, weren't selling booze. They may have been selling beer, but they weren't selling alcohol. And people would leave and go across the street and buy moonshine, bootleg stuff, bring back in flasks in their boots. The story about Bob Wills, who made us famous in 1935, January 1st, the trifecta of the building, Kane's Ballroom, Bob Wills, which was a great entertainer, and KVOO,
yep,
who had, I don't know, 100,000 kilowatts and could broadcast from east to west coast before the FCC restricted
50,000 watts, right? Yeah.
Because I had a patient tell me once that he was coming back from World War II off the coast of Washington And the captain of the ship brought him up to the tower and said, "Here, your hometown's playing on the radio." I mean, what a story to tell him. So everything blew up. Bob Wills was the first performer to have a number one song, number one movie, and I mean, it's just kind of a Will Rogers kind of a guy, too.
Right. He was on KVOO, near Daily Show, performed weekly. Then we bring in Leon Russell and his band. They were booked regularly at Canes. To add to the story of Canes, this is, and I noticed last year, 2021, Polestar ranked Canes Ballroom at number 12 worldwide for ticket sales at club venues.
Right. There's lots of clubs that don't submit their numbers, but we do. We think submitting the numbers is helpful for bands to look at places to go because of the sellouts. Last 1 week we had 3 sellouts, which is really good for us. The boys have been very honest. This is a business that can have money going out the back door and fudging the numbers and things to make more. But Chad has stayed straight with the agents, and they're calling us. In the beginning, we had to call agencies to say, "Can so-and-so come play?" We had people that would rent the building and bring a band in, so that was just a neutral thing, and we'd get the alcohol sales. But now it's 75% of the time the bands are calling us now, and so it's running smoothly now. You know, you could ask George Kaiser, you could ask David Sharp, big landowner downtown, who we bought the extra building from. Yes, they had lots of properties down there that weren't developed, but all of a sudden we took something that was kind of quietly important and made it and resurrected it back to something that more people have heard about the Canes Ballroom in America than they've heard about Philbrook. I mean, it's funny.
No question. The dance floor, is that special? Wasn't it noted for being spring-loaded at one time? Is that still true? And the maple floor, and that's an important part of it, so tell
us. It is maple. It's been now replaced twice since we bought it. But when we did the first rehab in 2003, we did not find springs. We found trusses that were far enough apart that allowed it to have some bounce. And some of those were cracked. We were getting lots of dips in the floor where it was unlevel and people were falling. So that's why we had to replace it. Then we replaced it, and the replacement, believe it or not, some of the nails rusted and the replacement floor failed really quickly. So now we have a floor that is still picnic bench, a picnic table design. Small rectangles getting bigger, 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 bigger rectangles. So somebody uses the word picnic table. And it has some balance. The combination of sweat, beer, and kids bouncing up and down, it's put through the it's tested every night.